Welcome to another episode of the Come Follow Me, Read Ahead. Since the normal course of study skips a whole bunch of chapters of the Old Testament, this episode is part of a series where we read the complete Old Testament from the New English Translation. It is not synchronized to the weekly schedule from the church. We're reading ahead and spreading the episodes over last year and this year. Let's jump in. Jeremiah chapter 33. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guardhouse. I, the Lord, do these things. I, the Lord, form the plan to bring them about. I am known as the Lord. I say to you, call on me in prayer and I will answer you. I will show you great and mysterious things that you still do not know about. For I, the Lord God of Israel, have something more to say about the houses in this city and the royal buildings of Judah that have been torn down for defenses against the siege ramps and military incursions of the Babylonians. The defenders of the city will go out and fight with the Babylonians, but they will only fill those houses and buildings with the dead bodies of the people that I will kill in my anger and my wrath. That will happen because I have decided to turn my back on this city on account of the wicked things they have done. But I will most surely heal the wounds of this city and restore it and its people to health. I will show them abundant peace and security. I will restore Judah and Israel and will rebuild them as they were in days of old. I will purify them from all the sin that they committed against me. I will forgive all their sins that they committed in rebelling against me. All the nations will hear about all the good things that I will do for them. This city will bring me fame, honor, and praise before them for the joy that I bring it. The nations will tremble in awe at all the peace and prosperity that I will provide for it. I, the Lord, say, you and your people are saying about this place, it lies in ruins. There are no people or animals in it. That is true. The towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem will soon be desolate, uninhabited, either by people or by animals. But happy sounds will again be heard in these places. Once again, there will be sounds of joy and gladness, and the glad celebrations of brides and grooms. Once again, people will bring their thank offerings to the temple of the Lord, and will say, "Give thanks to the Lord of heaven's armies. For the Lord is good, and his unfailing love lasts forever." For I, the Lord, affirm that I will restore the land to what it was in days of old. I, the Lord of heaven's army, say, this place will indeed lie in ruins. There will be no people or animals in it. But there will again be in it, and in its towns, sheepfolds, where shepherds can rest their sheep. I, the Lord, say that shepherds will once again count their sheep as they pass into the fold. They will do this in all the towns in the hill country, the foothills, the Negev, the territory of Benjamin, the villages surrounding Jerusalem, and the towns of Judah. I, the Lord, affirm, the time will certainly come when I will fulfill my gracious promise concerning the nations of Israel and Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will raise up for them a righteous descendant of David. He will do what is just and right in the land. Under his rule, Judah will enjoy safety, and Jerusalem will live in security. At that time, Jerusalem will be called, "The Lord has provided us with justice." For I, the Lord, promise, David will never lack a successor to occupy the throne over the nation of Israel. Nor will the Levitical priests ever lack someone to stand before me and continually offer their burnt offerings, sacrifice cereal offerings, and offer the other sacrifices. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah another time. I, the Lord, make the following promise. I have made a covenant with the day and with the night, that they will always come at their proper times. Only if you people could break that covenant, could my covenant with my servant David and my covenant with the Levites ever be broken. So David will, by all means, always have a descendant to occupy his throne as king, and the Levites will, by all means, always have priests who will minister before me. I will make the children who follow one another in the line of my servant David very numerous. I will also make the Levites, who minister before me, very numerous. I will make them all as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as the sands that are on the seashore." The Lord's message came to Jeremiah another time. "You have surely noticed what these people are saying, haven't you? They are saying, 'The Lord has rejected the two families of Israel and Judah that he chose. So they have little regard that my people will ever again be a nation.' But I, the Lord, make the following promise. I have made a covenant governing the coming of day and night. I have established the fixed laws governing heaven and earth. Just as surely as I have done this, so surely will I never reject the descendants of Jacob, nor will I ever refuse to choose one of my servant David's descendants to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Indeed, I will restore them and show mercy to them." Jeremiah chapter 34. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah while King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was attacking Jerusalem and the towns around it with a large army. This army consisted of troops from his own army and from the kingdoms and peoples of the lands under his dominion. This is what the Lord God of Israel told Jeremiah. "Go, speak to King Zedekiah of Judah. Tell him, 'This is what the Lord has said. Take note, I am going to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will burn it down. You yourself will not escape his clutches, but will certainly be captured and handed over to him. You must confront the king of Babylon face to face and answer to him personally. Then you must go to Babylon. However, listen to the Lord's message, King Zedekiah of Judah. This is what the Lord has said. You will not die in battle or be executed. You will die a peaceful death. They will burn incense at your burial just as they did at the burial of your ancestors, the former kings who preceded you. They will mourn for you, saying, 'Alas, master! Indeed, you have my own word on this. I, the Lord, affirm it.'" The prophet Jeremiah told all these things to King Zedekiah of Judah in Jerusalem. He did this while the army of the king of Babylon was attacking Jerusalem and the cities of Lachish and Azekah. He was attacking these cities because they were the only fortified cities of Judah that were still holding out. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to grant their slaves their freedom. Everyone was supposed to free their male and female Hebrew slaves. No one was supposed to keep a fellow Judean enslaved. All the people and their leaders had agreed to this. They had agreed to free their male and female slaves and not keep them enslaved any longer. They originally complied with the covenant and freed them, but later they changed their minds. They took back their male and female slaves that they had freed and forced them to be slaves again. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah. "The Lord God of Israel has a message for you. I made a covenant with your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, where they had been slaves. It stipulated, 'Every 7 years each of you must free any fellow Hebrews who have sold themselves to you. After they have served you for 6 years, you shall set them free.' But your ancestors did not obey me or pay any attention to me. Recently, however, you yourselves showed a change of heart and did what is pleasing to me. You granted your fellow countrymen their freedom, and you made a covenant to that effect in my presence, in the house that I have claimed for my own. But then you turned right around and showed that you did not honor me. Each of you took back your male and female slaves, whom you had freed as they desired, and you forced them to be your slaves again. So I, the Lord, say, you have not really obeyed me and granted freedom to your neighbor and fellow countrymen. Therefore I will grant you freedom, the freedom to die in war or by starvation or disease. I, the Lord, affirm it. I will make all the kingdoms of the earth horrified at what happens to you. I will punish those people who have violated their covenant with me. I will make them like the calf they cut in two and passed between its pieces. I will do so because they did not keep the terms of the covenant they made in my presence. I will punish the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the court officials, the priests, and all the other people of the land who passed between the pieces of the calf. I will hand them over to their enemies who want to kill them. Their dead bodies will become food for the birds and the wild animals. I will also hand King Zedekiah of Judah and his officials over to their enemies who want to kill them. I will hand them over to the army of the king of Babylon, even though they have temporarily withdrawn from attacking you. For I, the Lord, affirm that I will soon give the order and bring them back to this city. They will fight against it and capture it and burn it down. I will also make the towns of Judah desolate, so that there will be no one living in them. Jeremiah chapter 35. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah when Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was ruling over Judah. Go to the Rechabite community. Invite them to come into one of the side rooms of the Lord's temple, and offer them some wine to drink. So I went and got Jaazaniah, son of Jeremiah, the grandson of Habazaniah, his brothers, all his sons, and all the rest of the Rechabite community. I took them to the Lord's temple. I took them into the room where the disciples of the prophet Hanan, son of Igdaliah, stayed. That room was next to the one where the temple officers stayed, and above the room where Maaseiah, son of Shallum, one of the doorkeepers of the temple, stayed. Then I set cups and pitchers full of wine in front of the members of the Rechabite community, and said to them, "Have some wine." But they answered, "We do not drink wine, because our ancestor Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us not to. He told us, 'You and your children must never drink wine. Do not build houses, do not plant crops, do not plant a vineyard or own one. Live in tents all your lives. If you do these things, you will live a long time in the land that you wander about on.' We and our wives and our sons and daughters have obeyed everything our ancestor Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. We have never drunk wine. We have not built any houses to live in. We do not own any vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents. We have obeyed our ancestor Jonadab and done exactly as he commanded us. But when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded the land, we said, 'Let's get up and go to Jerusalem to get away from the Babylonian and Aramean armies.' That is why we are staying here in Jerusalem." Then the Lord's message came to Jeremiah. The Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, told him, "Go and speak to the people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem. Tell them, 'I, the Lord, say, you must learn a lesson from this about obeying what I say. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his descendants not to drink wine. His orders have been carried out. To this day his descendants have drunk no wine, because they have obeyed what their ancestors commanded them. But I have spoken to you over and over again, but you have not obeyed me. I sent all my servants, the prophets, to warn you over and over again. They said, 'Every one of you, stop doing the evil things you have been doing, and do what is right. Do not pay allegiance to other gods and worship them. Then you can continue to live in this land that I gave to you and your ancestors.' But you did not pay any attention or listen to me. Yes, the descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the orders that their ancestor gave them. But you people have not obeyed me. So I, the Lord God of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, say, I will soon bring on Judah and all the citizens of Jerusalem all the disaster that I threatened to bring on them. I will do this because I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called out to them, but they did not answer." Then Jeremiah spoke to the Rechabite community. "The Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, you have obeyed the orders of your ancestor Jonadab. You have followed all his instructions. You have done exactly as he commanded you. So the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never lack a male descendant to serve me." Jeremiah chapter 36. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah in the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was ruling over Judah. "Get a scroll. Write on it everything I have told you to say about Israel, Judah, and all the nations since I began to speak to you in the reign of Josiah until now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about all the disaster I intend to bring on them, they will all stop doing the evil things they have been doing. If they do, I will forgive their sins and the wicked things they have done." So Jeremiah summoned Baruch, son of Neriah. Then Baruch wrote down in a scroll all the Lord's words that he had told to Jeremiah as they came from his mouth. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, "I am no longer allowed to go into the Lord's temple, so you go there the next time all the people of Judah come in from their towns to fast in the Lord's temple. Read out loud where all of them can hear you what I told you the Lord said, which you wrote in the scroll. Perhaps then they will ask the Lord for mercy, and will all stop doing the evil things they have been doing, for the Lord has threatened to bring great anger and wrath against these people." So Baruch, son of Neriah, did exactly what the prophet Jeremiah told him to do. He read what the Lord had said from the scroll in the temple of the Lord. All the people living in Jerusalem, and all the people who came into Jerusalem from the towns of Judah, observed a fast before the Lord. The fast took place in the 9th month of the 5th year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was ruling over Judah. At that time, Baruch went into the temple of the Lord. He stood at the entrance of the room of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, who had been the royal secretary. That room was in the upper court, near the entrance of the new gate. There, where all the people could hear him, he read from the scroll what Jeremiah had said. Micaiah, who was the son of Gemariah, the grandson of Shaphan, heard Baruch read from the scroll everything the Lord had said. He went down to the chamber of the royal secretary in the king's palace and found all the court officials in session there. Elishama, the royal secretary, Delaiah, son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, son of Achbor, Gemariah, son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, son of Hananiah, and all the other officials were seated there. Micaiah told them everything he had heard Baruch read from the scroll in the hearing of the people. All the officials sent Jehudai, who was the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, to Baruch. They ordered him to tell Baruch, "Come here, and bring with you the scroll you read in the hearing of the people." So Baruch, son of Neriah, went to them, carrying the scroll in his hand. They said to him, "Please, sit down and read it to us." So Baruch sat down and read it to them. When they had heard it all, they expressed their alarm to one another. Then they said to Baruch, "We must certainly give the king a report about everything you have read." Then they asked Baruch, "How did you come to write all these words? Do they actually come from Jeremiah's mouth?" Baruch answered, "Yes, they came from his own mouth. He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them down in ink on this scroll." Then the officials said to Baruch, "You and Jeremiah must go and hide. You must not let anyone know where you are." The officials put the scroll in the room of Elishama, the royal secretary, for safekeeping. Then they went to the court and reported everything to the king. The king sent Jehudai to get the scroll. He went and got it from the room of Elishama, the royal secretary. Then he himself read it to the king, and all the officials were standing around him. Since it was the 9th month of the year, the king was sitting in his winter quarters. A fire was burning in the fire pot in front of him. As soon as Jehudai had read 3 or 4 columns of the scroll, the king would cut them off with a penknife and throw them on the fire in the fire pot. He kept doing so until the whole scroll was burned up in the fire. Neither he nor any of his attendants showed any alarm when they heard all that had been read, nor did they tear their clothes or show any grief or sorrow. The king did not even listen to Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah, who had urged him not to burn the scroll. He also ordered Jeremiel, who was one of the royal princes, Sariah, son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, son of Abdiel, to arrest the scribe Baruch and the prophet Jeremiah. However, the Lord hid them. The Lord's message came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll with the words Baruch had written down at Jeremiah's dictation. "Get another scroll, and write on it everything that was written on the original scroll that King Jehoiakim of Judah burned. Tell King Jehoiakim of Judah, 'The Lord says you burned the scroll. You asked Jeremiah, how dare you write in this scroll that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and wipe out all the people and animals on it?' So the Lord says, concerning King Jehoiakim of Judah, none of his line will occupy the throne of David. His dead body will be thrown out, to be exposed to scorching heat by day and frost by night. I will punish him and his descendants and the officials who serve him for the wicked things they have done. I will bring on them, the citizens of Jerusalem and the people of Judah, all the disaster that I told them about and that they ignored. Then Jeremiah got another scroll and gave it to the scribe Baruch, son of Neriah. As Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote on this scroll everything that had been on the scroll that King Jehoiakim of Judah burned in the fire. They also added on this scroll several other messages of the same kind. Jeremiah chapter 37. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, succeeded Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, as king. He was elevated to the throne of the land of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Neither he, nor the officials who served him, nor the people of Judah, paid any attention to what the Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah. King Zedekiah sent Jehuchal, son of Shelemiah, and the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, to the prophet Jeremiah, to say, please pray to the Lord our God on our behalf. Now Jeremiah had not yet been put in prison, so he was still free to come and go among the people as he pleased. At that time, the Babylonian forces had temporarily given up their siege against Jerusalem. They had had it under siege, but withdrew when they heard that the army of Pharaoh had set out from Egypt. The Lord's message came to the prophet Jeremiah. This is what the Lord God of Israel has said. This is what you must say to the king of Judah, who sent you to seek my help. Beware Pharaoh's army that was on its way to help you is about to go back home to Egypt. Then the Babylonian forces will return. They will attack the city and will capture it and burn it down. Moreover, I, the Lord, warn you not to deceive yourselves into thinking that the Babylonian forces will go away and leave you alone, for they will not go away. For even if you were to defeat all the Babylonian forces fighting against you so badly that only wounded men were left lying in their tents, they would get up and burn this city down. The following events also occurred while the Babylonian forces had temporarily withdrawn from Jerusalem because the army of Pharaoh was coming. Jeremiah started to leave Jerusalem to go to the territory of Benjamin. He wanted to make sure he got his share of the property that was being divided up among his family there. But he only got as far as the Benjamin Gate. There, an officer in charge of the guards named Irijah, who was the son of Shelemiah and the grandson of Hananiah, stopped him. He seized Jeremiah and said, "You are deserting to the Babylonians?" Jeremiah answered, "That's a lie. I am not deserting to the Babylonians." But Irijah would not listen to him. Irijah put Jeremiah under arrest and took him to the officials. The officials were very angry with Jeremiah. They had him flogged and put in prison in the house of Jonathan, the royal secretary, which they had converted into a place for confining prisoners. So Jeremiah was put in prison in a cell in the dungeon in Jonathan's house. He was kept there for a long time. Then King Zedekiah had him brought to the palace. There he questioned him privately and asked him, "Is there any message from the Lord?" Jeremiah answered, "Yes, there is." Then he announced, "You will be handed over to the king of Babylon." Then Jeremiah asked King Zedekiah, "What crime have I committed against you, or the officials who serve you, or the people of Judah? What have I done to make you people throw me into prison? Where now are the prophets who prophesied to you that the king of Babylon would not attack you or this land? But now please listen, your royal majesty, and grant my plea for mercy. Do not send me back to the house of Jonathan, the royal secretary. If you do, I will die there." Then King Zedekiah ordered that Jeremiah be committed to the courtyard of the guardhouse. He also ordered that a loaf of bread be given to him every day from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah was kept in the courtyard of the guardhouse. Jeremiah chapter 38. Now Shephatiah, son of Mattan, Gedaliah, son of Pashur, Jehuchal, son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, son of Malchijah, had heard the things that Jeremiah had been telling the people. They had heard him say, "The Lord says, those who stay in this city will die in battle, or of starvation or disease. Those who leave the city and surrender to the Babylonians will live. They will escape with their lives." They had also heard him say, "The Lord says, this city will certainly be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon. They will capture it." So these officials said to the king, "This man must be put to death, for he is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city, as well as all the other people there, by these things he is saying. This man is not seeking to help these people, but is trying to harm them." King Zedekiah said to them, "Very well, you can do what you want with him, for I cannot do anything to stop you." So the officials took Jeremiah and put him in the cistern of Malchijah, one of the royal princes, that was in the courtyard of the guardhouse. There was no water in the cistern, only mud. So when they lowered Jeremiah into the cistern with ropes, he sank in the mud. An Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, a court official in the royal palace, heard that Jeremiah had been put in the cistern. While the king was holding court at the Benjamin Gate, Ebed-Melech departed the palace and went to speak to the king. He said to him, "Your royal majesty, those men have been very wicked in all that they have done to the prophet Jeremiah. They have thrown him into a cistern, and he is sure to die of starvation there, because there is no food left in the city." Then the king gave Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian the following order: "Take 30 men with you from here, and go pull the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasure room in the palace. He got some worn-out clothes and old rags from there and let them down by ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech called down to Jeremiah, "Put these rags and worn-out clothes under your armpits to pad the ropes." Jeremiah did as Ebed-Melech instructed. So they pulled Jeremiah up from the cistern with ropes. Jeremiah, however, still remained confined to the courtyard of the guardhouse. Sometime later, Zedekiah sent and had Jeremiah brought to him at the third entrance of the Lord's temple. The king said to Jeremiah, "I would like to ask you a question. Do not hide anything from me when you answer." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I answer you, you will certainly kill me. If I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So King Zedekiah made a secret promise to Jeremiah and sealed it with an oath. He promised, "As surely as the Lord lives who has given us life and breath, I promise you this, I will not kill you or hand you over to those men who want to kill you." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "The Lord God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, you must surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon. If you do, your life will be spared, and this city will not be burned down. Indeed, you and your whole family will be spared. But if you do not surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, this city will be handed over to the Babylonians, and they will burn it down. You yourself will not escape from them." Then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Babylonians. The Babylonians might hand me over to them, and they will torture me." Then Jeremiah answered, "You will not be handed over to them. Please obey the Lord by doing what I have been telling you. Then all will go well with you, and your life will be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, the Lord has shown me a vision of what will happen. Here is what I saw. All the women who are left in the royal palace of Judah will be led out to the officers of the king of Babylon. They will taunt you, saying, 'Your trusted friends misled you. They have gotten the best of you. Now that your feet are stuck in the mud, they have turned their backs on you.' All your wives and your children will be turned over to the Babylonians. You yourself will not escape from them, but will be captured by the king of Babylon. The city will be burned down." Then Zedekiah told Jeremiah, "Do not let anyone know about the conversation we have had. If you do, you will die. The officials may hear that I have talked to you. They may come to you and say, 'Tell us what you said to the king and what the king said to you.' Do not hide anything from us. If you do, we will kill you. If they do this, tell them, I was pleading with the king not to send me back to die in the dungeon of Jonathan's house. All the officials did indeed come and question Jeremiah. He told them exactly what the king had instructed him to say. They stopped questioning him any further because no one had actually heard their conversation. So Jeremiah remained confined in the courtyard of the guardhouse until the day Jerusalem was captured. The following events occurred when Jerusalem was captured. Jeremiah chapter 39. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. The siege began in the 10th month of the 9th year that Zedekiah ruled over Judah. It lasted until the 9th day of the 4th month of Zedekiah's 11th year. On that day, they broke through the city walls. Then Nergal-Sharezer of Samgar, Nebo-Sarsekim, who was a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, who was a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon came and set up quarters in the middle gate. When King Zedekiah of Judah and all his soldiers saw them, they tried to escape. They departed from the city during the night. They took a path through the king's garden and passed out through the gate between the two walls. Then they headed for the Rift Valley. But the Babylonian army chased after them. They caught up with Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho and captured him. They took him to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon at Riblah in the territory of Hamath, and Nebuchadnezzar passed sentence on him there. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon had Zedekiah's sons put to death, while Zedekiah was forced to watch. The king of Babylon also had all the nobles of Judah put to death. Then he had Zedekiah's eyes put out, and had him bound in chains to be led off to Babylon. The Babylonians burned down the royal palace, the temple of the Lord, and the people's homes, and they tore down the wall of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, took captive the rest of the people who were left in the city. He carried them off to Babylon along with the people who had deserted to him. But he left behind in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing. He gave them fields and vineyards at that time. Now King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had issued orders concerning Jeremiah. He had passed them on through Nebuzaradan, the captain of his royal guard. Find Jeremiah and look out for him. Do not do anything to harm him, but do with him whatever he tells you. So Zebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, Nebushazban, who was a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, who was a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon sent and had Jeremiah brought from the courtyard of the guardhouse. They turned him over to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and the grandson of Shaphan, to take him home with him. But Jeremiah stayed among the people. Now the Lord's message had come to Jeremiah while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guardhouse. Go and tell Ebed-Melech the Nubian, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, has said. I will carry out against this city what I promised. It will mean disaster and not good fortune for it. When that disaster happens, you will be there to see it. But I will rescue you when it happens. I, the Lord, affirm it. You will not be handed over to those whom you fear. I will certainly save you. You will not fall victim to violence. You will escape with your life, because you trust in me. I, the Lord, affirm it.